Taj, what's up, man?
Oh, man, it's been a busy week. I'm not going to lie.
Has it been a busy week?
It has been. How about yourself? How are you doing?
It's been a busy week. A lot of organizing, stuff like that. So, yeah, and since when did we meet? We met last week.
We met, 5 days ago.
That's basically it, right? So we got talking about what you're doing. I'm intrigued. I was interested. So I wanted to dive more into it to figure it out. It's, in my opinion, from what I've seen on face value, we'll learn more about it. It's going to help the industry, basically. That's what it's going to do. That's your plan.
Hope so. Yeah.
So let me share the information so everyone gets an idea of who's talking to. Taj, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Taj Brah.
Taj Brah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's different or anything.
No. Right? Yeah. So you're not going to offend me. Don't worry.
No. I don't want to mess up anybody's name. Right. So Taj Brah is here from Quotograph. You can find them at www.quotograph.io on IG. You can also find them under quotograph.io. And then also their email is info@quotograph. And it pretty much spelled the same way that you think it's spelled, right? Because the way they basically taken quotes and photograph and put them together.
Exactly.
And you built, and it's an app, right?
Platform, yeah. So we started off as app.
Okay.
It was essentially like the Uber for construction, right? You wanted to connect with a handyman. You would take a photo and you connect with them. What was different about it was we had AI to analyze those photos. So we kind of kickstarted the process, right? So what is your pricing? And then the customer has a rough idea because you hear the horror stories all the time, right? Yeah. The original quote was this much, but I paid 3 times the amount, right?
No, you want to track everything.
Of course,
You want to basically have
some sort of mechanism. Yeah,
that's it. But there's a lot of I want you to share how you came about this, how you started this, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm a University of Waterloo grad. I went to school for business, not tech, not, software, not AI, none of that, right? But because it's a very technical school, all of my kind of internships or co-ops were very tech startup focused, actually. So not even just a regular company, right? Okay. I know a lot of people, they don't really fit into that kind of environment, but it was literally these guys were the founders, the CEOs, they were dying for this company, they were bleeding for it. In that sense, I quickly understood, no one is going to kind of understand your company or work for your company the way you do, right? Yeah. And I love their grind. And I'm like, wow, these guys, of course, they had that lifestyle as well, which I love, driving G-Wagons, going out to, going out all the time, living a good life, right?
What are you talking about? That you were interning?
GoFleet.
So
they're Fleet Telematics.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I got my own bug, right? And they were also serial entrepreneurs. They were working on other startups, digital tags. So right now, if you're checking out at a grocery store, it's just a regular code that the cashier would scan, right? Yeah, yeah. They wanted to create NFC tags. So you use scanning with your phone and then find out where that product was sourced, for example, right? Find out if it's actually sourced in Canada or sourced in China or whatever the case is.
So a lot of that stuff's already being done in other countries, right?
Yeah. So it's they were just trying stuff, right? So it was that whole thing okay, if there's a problem, let's try and see if you can quickly kind of build something and solve that solution and, maybe make a billion-dollar company out of it, right? Okay. So that's where I saw, hey, these guys, they're doing some good stuff, right? And then AI kind of came out. And then, of course, when you're working for someone else, you don't have that freedom to say, even if you have ideas, right? When it's your own company, you can do kind of whatever the hell you want, right? So I always knew, I want this, but I don't want it working for someone else, right? I wanted that freedom as well, but of course it's hard. So I needed that transitionary period where I was honestly just a sponge there, right? Of course you're working your ass off, but it's really what can I absorb? Yeah. So now I can do it myself, right? Okay. And then
how long were you there for?
I entered there, then I came back for another year. So maybe a couple of years in total,
okay.
2 years. And then I was like, okay, I got to do something myself when ChatGPT came out. Because then AI was coming out. I was like, okay, now this is, stuff is happening. And now there's opportunities that were not there before, right? That's when we get back to that Uber idea where I was like, look, if you want to get from point A to point B, you go on your phone and everyone has Uber or variation of it, right?
Yep.
And it's like, it's widespread. You want to order food, skip the dishes. Everyone has it. Uber Eats, whatever it is, right? Now even grocery delivery, it's like Instacart, right? Right away. Construction, there's nothing, right? Now, there's maybe TaskRabbit.
Yeah.
In Canada, I've never heard of anyone even using TaskRabbit on a practical level, right?
On a job site?
Exactly.
I've never heard of anybody, yeah.
I know in the States, in some pockets, maybe in Florida, there's a lot of cleaners there. It works in some pockets, but it has not got widespread adoption.
Is basically 10 times the size of Canada? They just have the population to experiment it more?
Well, yeah, that also you look at demographics as well. So like Florida, I know there's a lot of like Cuban, Hispanic people there that are into cleaning, right? So that's why they have the supply there. Here in Canada, we don't have the supply,
no.
Right? So that's why there's also a big difference. But also they're kind of more, they are more kind of inclined to adopt new technologies perhaps in the States compared to Canada. But that's kind of where we started, right? We're like, okay, how do we kind of create something that's going to solve this issue? We really, really tried hard for a year to launch this marketplace where it's like this kind of like Uberized approach for construction.
But why construction? What was the reasoning? Because you just saw it as the market that didn't have anything right now?
Exactly. It was like I looked around because I had a personal pain story actually, right? We had a fence built, but no gates, right? So these pesky little rabbits, like they were still coming in and eating all our plants. So I was like, okay, I need to... Like, I didn't know how to even, or at the time even, to make the gate myself, right? It's okay, I can hire someone. I was calling contractors. No one was answering their phone, first of all, right?
No.
Then, if I actually got someone to answer the phone, and I told them I just wanted the gate put in, they were like no, they don't want to do the small ass job.
I
want to
do the fence. I want to do the deck. I want to do the fence. I want to do everything. Yeah, I know.
And we live in a rural, a more rural, like, small town, right? So getting contractors was a challenge because of that as well. So it was so hard to get the process even started, right?
Okay.
Even to get a rough idea of like what's going on here. So that was like from a consumer perspective, right? Which is where we started, like the homeowner kind of need, right? We mentioned before, again, where it's like, you know, you get quoted one thing and then at the contractor hook or whatever you kind of call it, right?
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like we shifted, we put that marketplace idea on pause because we had contractors, we had 25 contractors, like all over, like mainly in like Ontario, but even then it's like London, Ontario, because closer to where I'm from, and then it's Waterloo, where I went to school, and then a lot of contractors in the GTA, and then some in like California, because they're very receptive to this kind of stuff. So it's like, it was all over. And then we're like, okay, how do we market? What are the logistics? Like, okay, now we got to incorporate in the US, a lot of liability, right? Because you're connecting a contractor to a homeowner, and then they're doing the work, right? So even though the contractor has to have insurance and the liabilities on them, I still connect to the contractor. So they're still going to perhaps try to come after us, right? So that's where we had our pivot. We're like, hey, look, if we have this kind of technology where it's like we're analyzing photos, we're providing quotes, there's kind of two aspects here, right? Or actually even multiple. You know, we're getting measurements, we're analyzing the photo, we're giving a description, and of course, we're doing the estimating as well. Like we're applying the pricing to the estimates, right? The issue is that not everyone wants that one, like the one size fits all solution, right? So
because it doesn't.
It doesn't.
For independent companies, yeah.
For no one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when we had kind of, like we did a velocity incubator in Waterloo, and they were putting a lot of pressure on us. Like, guys, like, and when you're just like, you're going so hard at a business, not everyone will tell you like, hey, like pause, maybe look at it from a different perspective, right? It's like, hey, we got 25 customers on the marketplace. Like we're going to figure it out. We're going to launch it slowly, right? But like logistically, it just didn't make sense. Okay, look.
Okay, so hang on a second.
Yeah.
You got to understand, right? I'm in my 50s, right? So there's going to be some terminology you're going to be using that's going to go right over my head, right? Velocity, what?
So velocity is an incubator in Waterloo.
So what is that?
So have you heard of Y Combinator before?
What is that?
So it's DoorDash, all these big kind of startups. They all go through kind of this, like, not all of them.
Like?
It's like an incubator, right? So they bring all these companies, sorry, together. And they have like coaches and they have maybe like challenges. Like I want like whoever can even get a customer or X amount of customers this week will get like a bonus, right? Or like an investment. For example, it's very competitive. But like all these companies are working kind of together. Usually in a short time frame as well. So like why?
What are you given? Like at the beginning, what are you given to the group of people to do this?
So each incubator is different. Y Combinator, they'll invest like $125,000 or something upfront. And they'll take a little chunk of equity as well. And then for, I think it's like 3 months, you're just working with all these other like high performing guys that have these great ideas. And you're just like, you're just in this little group and you're just trying to like, you're competing kind of as well, but you're also learning, right? From these other guys that have done it.
But the group that's doing the work, okay, I'm just trying to figure it out. So the group that's doing the work, they own a piece of whatever they're developing for this, or they're being hired just as subs to contribute to this.
So each company will have their own like idea or product, right? So
you went in there with
Quarter graph, exactly, right? So velocity, you can say, is like the Canadian version of Y Combinator, right? So Y Combinator is what everyone goes to in San Francisco. That's where, like, Uber, all the big companies, that's how they got it.
So here's a new idea, and we haven't perfected it yet. It hasn't been grown yet, but we know there's growth attached to it. We just don't know where to go with this growth.
We need some coaching.
Okay, now I understand. So they started doing that.
Yeah, so they'll see these kind of companies that they're not there yet, but they have that potential, right? So again, each incubator is different. Y Combinator, they're going to take that equity. So they actually own a part of your company. So they're very incentivized also to promote you and do all that stuff. Thankfully, Velocity, they didn't take any equity, but they still provided us with a lot of connections and support, because we're a fellow Waterloo student, as I mentioned, right?
Okay.
Which is awesome. But like those incubators were awesome and just like getting us to think outside of the box, right? And pivot. And their whole thing was like, because they've done it, was like, hey, talk to your customer about how they can actually go about paying for this and implementing it into their workflow, right? Because when I come to you with the app, it's like, okay, I'm already using another app, right? So then it's like, it's so much of a process. You know how construction guys are. They don't want to change their process, right? So it's like, and they want something very, very simple. So it's like, people were almost like telling us, hey, that's a great idea. I love it. App, Uber for construction. Why not, right? But we weren't getting like to the core like truth, which is like, how are we actually go, like, yeah, it's a cool idea. Like, how am I going to actually go pay for it and implement it, right? It's like, hey, like my costing is different than this guy's estimating, right? His pricing. So how are you going to like manage that? So that's why we had to kind of pivot. We're like, hey, you tell me your pricing. We'll create you a custom solution. Like, you're saving time, right? But your solution might not be the same as Bob's solution over here.
I got it.
Yeah.
Now, are you also in this kind of velocity thing, this kind of networking thing? Are you bringing in construction people?
So we're
just strictly tech people.
So Velocity is just tech people.
Yeah.
But we are in like our own kind of construction groups as well. It'll usually be like a whole bunch of contractors, and they'll invite in perhaps like one kind of tech person, right, into this group. So they'll usually have maybe like one painting company, one flooring company, like one kind of company to represent kind of each kind of sub industry.
To see their pain points and...
Exactly, right? And then referrals as well, right? So, you know, you need some lumber, right? So you're going to go to one supply guy, right? That's your guy. Everyone's going to go to, right? So we kind of just refer each other. And in construction, word of mouth is everything, right? Yep. So it's really, really helped us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you did that. And then what came about from that?
So... when we actually started talking to our customers, we showed them what we had, our marketplace, right? So that's when we basically, like, hey, what would you pay for? That was kind of the real question that solved everything, right? Because initially it was like, hey, they'd pay a 2% commission on any work that they do on our platform, right? But there was no sign up fee or anything. So it was like, people were just signing up, right? Okay. But now it's like, okay, I have this thing, right? You think you just told me it's cool, okay? So, okay, let's go implement it. And this is what it costs, right? And then there's the actual pushback, right? So that's when, for example, a large general contractor would say, okay, we already have kind of, we're doing hospitals. Like, we don't need estimates, right? Everything's kind of fixed, right? We just want to send out bids to our subcontractors. But most importantly, we have projects in North, like all across North America, Canada, you know, US. We want to manage all these projects, right? So if you're telling me you have technology that can analyze photos, you know, can you analyze videos? I'm like, yes, yeah, we can. Because the video is just a bunch of images, right?
So when you say analyze, are you like, this is taking it to the 10th degree. It's a video or a photo.
Yeah.
And what Quotograph does, what exactly is it analyzing in that image or that video?
So we've created, we call it construction analysis technology. So like you can upload an image even to like ChatGPT, for example, and it will kind of describe it or whatever it is, right? Now, because we've been at this for a couple of years, all this kind of data everything we've kind of acquired to this point, we kind of fed into our model. So now when we're looking at that photo or video, a way I like to describe it as well is like we've almost put a contractor's brain like into our app, right? So now it's like you have an actual contractor looking at it, but they're not actually there, right? Yeah. It's just a video. It's anyone taking that video, but it's not just like, you know, it's not just a general description. It's a tailored construction description. Cause I know, for example, like a random example, like for painting, right? Like it costs more to go from like, from dark to light versus like light to dark, right? Yeah. Cause there's like the amount of paint coats, right? So like stuff like that, we can put into our pricing algorithm. So any painting company, that's kind of a general kind of thing that we can apply, right? Or same thing to reporting, right? Like electrician, you got to make sure certain wires are covered, right? Like common sense stuff that kind of applies the blanket solution.
At Maple Overhead Garage Doors, they're not just opening doors, they're opening possibilities. Serving the greater Toronto area with top quality garage doors in steel, wood, fiberglass, flush mount, and full view aluminum, Maple delivers style, strength, and satisfaction for both residential and commercial spaces. With years of experience, unmatched craftsmanship, and the next level service, your neighbors will be jealous, but your garage door will speak for itself. Visit www.maplegaragedoors.com, email them at maplegaragedoors@hotmail.com, or even call them at 905-738-9231. Follow them on social at Maple Doors and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience live at Maple. Maple Overhead Garage Doors, built to impress, made to last. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Well, the easiest way that you described it to me that I got it was if you're doing a video and you're literally just walking through a job site and you're creating a video, you're recording, then you're asking Quotograph to look at it. And basically when you're asking, tell me all the safety infractions that are in this video.
Yeah.
Right? So it could just pan through the job site and you can quickly discover whether people are not wearing the proper PPE or if there's no safety guardrails or if anybody's doing anything dangerous in that video content, right?
Exactly.
Which is an everyday thing. So that's what happens when a site super gets on site or when the owner of the business gets on site or unfortunately when the Ministry of Labor gets on site and they see it and they possibly can fine you as a result of that.
Of course.
So if you're aware of all that stuff, that's the easiest way that I grasped it and I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, because it is very much a contractor that's in a digital forum on your practical site, letting you know what is right, what's wrong, and what needs to be taken care of, kind of idea, right?
100%. Yeah.
And actually, is great. That's important. Yeah.
So in the video, I'll even share we caught that for one of our projects. One of the guys was not wearing, they were moving stuff without the proper PPE, right?
Okay, yeah.
So of course, you just just remind your guys, put your helmets on, right? It's that simple, right? So literally it's like we turn the video into an automated report and then risks and recommendations. So summary of what has happened, especially you can imagine if you're doing this every day, right? Now, what happened between yesterday and today, right? So every day you have that report, but then take a step back now. It's let's analyze it further. Which days are we the most productive, right? And then why, right? Because you can see in the report, this is what was done on this day,
so
right?
So you can analyze Monday to through Friday and...
Yeah, so you can also do, for this, you'll just upload your video, right? So you can upload multiple videos and put in dates, right? For large general contractors, usually they'll have a custom solution, so they'll tell us, right? We want to report, if it's a 3-month project, they'll give us a project timeline as well, so we actually know if they're on schedule, behind schedule, usually behind schedule, right? Never ahead of schedule, and we just kind of compare that, right? But they might say, okay, give us a report. We want a daily report, but we also want a monthly report. So in that monthly report, we're just analyzing each kind of daily report, right? And extrapolating it.
Have you gotten it to the point where it's, okay, so let's say you actually quote the job, it's been tendered, you received it, it was awarded to you, and you have a schedule now. If nothing changes on the client side of things regarding, making upgrades or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You can already predict when this job should be completed based on the reports?
Well, we can tell the general contractor if they're behind schedule, right? So, of course, yeah. So, we can imply. But you have
a prediction of what the whole scope is.
Yeah.
And then based on, okay, so let's say it takes 3 months.
Yeah.
And you start the project. You're 4 weeks into it. So, you're 1 month into it. Mm-hmm. You can already start to predict if you're ahead or behind.
Yeah. Well, because we're comparing against the project timelines, right?
Yeah.
So, we can see the speed of it as well, right? So what has happened in that week? But that's all that's the kind of the cherry on top, the custom stuff, right? Because we don't know your project timelines. So you just have to kind of tell us that, right? These are the project timelines. And then we'll just kind of make some very, very minor kind of modifications where it's like, okay, look, compare this video against these project timelines, right? Right now, kind of what this kind of base version, which is just anyone can just go and upload the video. It'll just give you the summary for that video, of course, right? So if you want to actually set up a whole kind of custom solution, that's next level where you just have to talk to us, right?
But Quotograph will actually tell you it's the workers that are slower or it's the actual work progress that's slower or if it's the difficulty of the scope of work. He'll tell you what's causing the delay.
the more information you give to us, the more information we can kind of give back to you guys, right? So if you say, like, X, like John, for example, is supposed to finish, because usually, like, each sub trade, whatever, has their own kind of job.
They have a timeline,
right?
And exactly. Based on their experience, they've told the builder, okay, I need 5 days to complete this task.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden 5 days turns into 7 days, then now Quotagraph looks at
it. We know right away.
Right away, you find out, okay, well, John took an extra 2 days, which is going to do something with the schedule now moving forward.
Everything. Just everything, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's like kind of like next, the level two, I guess you can say, right? So if you want to just like straight up, like just upload multiple videos or images or whatever it is, that's kind of good to go, right? You can do that yourself.
And
right?
You'll analyze it.
And we'll analyze, you can see it working, right? That's all good to go right now as we speak, right? Just if you want to compare it to your project timelines, then you just have to reach out to us and we'll create that special link where it's like, now we're comparing those videos. You can maybe say, okay, look, we want to upload a video at the end of every day, right? So we'll create a little spot where you can upload that video. And of course, a spot where you upload your timeline. And so then not only are you, of course, getting your daily report, but then to get another report, right? Which is against that project timeline.
Yeah.
So just another report from those reports.
So you've obviously already started using this and working with tradespeople, been on job sites.
Yeah.
What's the reaction? Like, how is it? I mean, outside of, we don't like new tools. We know how to do this. This is how we've done it for so many years. We don't need this crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, outside of that, what's been the reaction?
Honestly, so large general contractors that have a digital construction department, we've done very well with those guys.
They see the potential.
Yes, right. And also, like I found, for example, the digital construction manager, director of innovation, director of virtual construction. These guys, their job is to bring in technologies that are going to optimize and improve their business, right?
Yeah.
So why are they not going to take a meeting with me when I can tell them that I can save them X amount of time or dollars, right? So for those guys in specific, like Quota Report has been great because like compliance, right? We sent this off to one of our general contractors in the southern United States, and like they're extra like very, very like no bullshit, right? Whatever it is, like they're gonna say it how it is, right? And it's like, you know, and you wouldn't even think that they would kind of use this stuff. Like, hey Taj, I had a hole in my site, right? I knew it was there. I took the video and you guys told me, right? And he's like, that's for insurance, I need that right away, right? And it'll just like that, because they're such a large company, they just see the insurance and also the peace of mind, right? It's like, you don't want your guys falling in that hole. Put a plywood or cover it up or something, right?
Yeah.
Put something around it, right? So that's kind of where he already knew this was a hazard on his site. He was just testing to see if we would actually pick it up. So.
And you guys picked it up.
Of course.
And probably other things too.
Of course, right? So for large GCs, they love Quota Report, right? Sub trades, like we'll talk about different ways that we use measure as well, or just like simple measurements. Like they're like takeoffs even, right? Like AI takeoffs are literally taking off right now, because it's like traditionally guys print off their blueprints and they use rulers and they sit around this big table and they're doing their measurements, right?
Well, nowadays even it's brought down to the small business owners. You're getting a lot of PDFs that are just navigated through digital landscapes, and then they're, I guess, hashed through different kinds of software that, in my opinion, spits out a rough idea. It doesn't really get too specific, right? Mm. I'm thinking that with you guys are getting a lot more specific based on what the drawings are all telling you, right?
So we can exactly. We have the analysis part, right? So that's kind of where you can kind of combine stuff, right? So we have measurements, analyze it. And of course, like with you combine those two, that's how you can provide an estimate, right? So you can use multiple kind of products, so to speak, to provide kind of one comprehensive solution, if that's what you want, right? If that's not what you want, you can just get a description of what's going on in your video or photo as well.
Are the larger companies, because the way I look at it this way, is treat construction the same way, where it's anything that happens in Formula One eventually gets filtered down to your Honda Civic. Mm. You know what I'm saying, right?
Mm.
So it's the same thing with construction. So anything that the big players are doing, big players are doing, and how they're managing their job sites are still incredibly applicable to your regular three-piece bathroom being rented in some suburban house, right?
Of course.
The ideas are still there. It's just implemented differently because of the amount of workers, the amount of scope.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's the only difference. But you can still apply to that small business as much as you can apply it to the large business.
Of course, right? Yeah. And we have those tiers designed for smaller guys and the enterprise guys as well, right? So, you know, smaller guys, you just want to, you have a couple of projects, you just want to summarize it for your peace of mind or for insurance, right? Like have it on file, like, hey, this is actually what was completed or just whatever the case is, right? It's like a few hundred bucks a month. It's all about data processing, right? So you just want to process a little bit of data. You kind of just try it out and then see how it is if you're smaller, right? Of course, you're enterprise and you're sending us gigabytes on gigabytes of data, we're going to charge you for it, right?
Of course, yeah, it's different. But what's the number one thing that you've seen positively come back from the big players telling you that it's accomplished? Is it efficiency?
Traditionally, some guys, some general contractors, they're doing the visual reconstruction of it, of their sites, right? So, for example, OpenSpace, we're partnered with OpenSpace, right? Some guys using OpenSpace, they walk around their site and it's reconstructed, right? But now what happens after that reconstruction is the project manager, safety manager, owner, whoever it is sitting behind their laptop and walking through the entire site to see what has happened, right? So they're like, that's it. So it is reconstructed, it's great, it's step up, right? Now some guy across the world can see what has happened, right? But they're still going through it manually. So that's kind of the best feedback we've had, where it's like, hey, now our project managers, like they're just so much more efficient, right? Like literally they're just spending a few minutes now to review that reconstruction versus like maybe 35 minutes to literally go through everything, right? Cause now we're giving image context, right? So if something's wrong, we'll give you an image of it. Whatever, guy is not wearing his PPE, right? Maybe our tag was a little bit off.
Something gets flagged, right?
Exactly, right? We're gonna try to flag everything. Like we're not trying to be annoying. We just want to give you that peace of mind, right? There's gonna be cases where like, yeah, I'm aware of it, but it's fine, right? Like for example, dust or debris, right? Maybe you know, like, yeah, there's a lot of dust and debris, but I don't really care about it, but we might as well flag it just so you're aware of it, right? Because it is maybe a safety concern or some guy might breathe it in, right?
How critical is Quotograph? Like, I'm just trying to think of at the beginning, you inputting the drawings themselves. So that's part of the process. You have to input the digital version of the drawings.
So it depends. So for Quota Measure, we have just a simple drawing version. So yeah, you upload your drawings, you get your measurements, you can apply your pricing. We got 3D version of it as well. So that's where you upload your photos, right? Or if you really want to make a map out an actual site, then we have like different ways that we can do that. Whether that's like augmented reality, so you can drag and drop like the measure tool, or even like creating like a kind of 3D model, right? That's kind of for 3D. So it kind of just depends on the use case.
Where I'm going with it is that, okay, let's say you get a sub trade that decides to move a wall by an inch or something like that. Will Quotograph catch that?
In terms of the, like if they compared the original drawings.
Yeah, in the original drawings, it was the X amount, this was the measurement, this is where it was supposed to be put, and now the actual subtrade on site is built it one inch off for whatever reason. You can decide on whatever reason.
Yeah.
Will you guys catch that person did that?
So you can do a side-by-side comparison. So that's not Quota Measure. So Quota Measure, you can upload your floor plans and just get your measurements. That would be more so like the Quota Report part. So you upload your original floor plans, which the large general contractors are doing anyway, right? Because everything is, of course, mapped out.
Yeah.
And then we have the reconstruction on top of that, right? So there's
it
also...
will see it.
Yeah, yeah. So it all maps up, right? So not only if it's like stuff like you mentioned, like the wall is off, of course, we can apply measurements, but other stuff as well, right? So like whatever, maybe like you'll put into the project scope, like this office needs to have like an extra large window, right? And now the guy didn't make the cutout the right size. So then there you go. There's a flag.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But Quota Report. Yeah, that's more like the bigger project management part. Yeah.
Are you guys also tied into the code and bylaws? Like
I love that you asked that question. So we're working on something right now.
You know why I'm asking that, right?
Of course, yeah.
Because you can already find things that may be issues before even inspections, right?
Yeah.
And so now you start looking like an all-star on the job site, because when the inspection comes to do the report, we've taken care of it.
One of the biggest pain points, of course, in construction is getting that permit approved, right? So there's so many ways to do it. So A, we can analyze the drawings before you submit to the city to kind of give that verification. Like, hey, we're gonna call it Permit X.
I like that.
But yeah, that's kind of the idea. So there's a couple ways we can do it. We can basically you give us your plans, we'll generate the permit for you with like the write up, right? So each city, the thing is, each city is different. So whatever the city wants,
but
right?
You're gonna be aware of whatever municipality that you're working with, right?
Yeah. So now we're kind of coming back to that Quoto Graph marketplace idea, right? It's like, yes, we can do this, but now it's like, hey, which city? And I'm not going to create a blanket solution for every single city, right? Yeah. Okay, so right now, like yesterday, I did a speech at the city of Kitchener. You know, we can potentially onboard them now, right? So it's like, hey, look, and they recognize the issue because they see it, right? So, you know, Kitchener and Burlington, like they have different bylaws. Everything is different, for example, right? So they need to tell us, what do you guys need to approve that permit, right? Now we're going to analyze the drawings, and just for starters, just give them the stamp, right? So they're still going to manually approve it. They'll have a peace of mind that we've used AI or our technology to verify everything, right? Eventually, there'll be that trust where it's like potentially fully automated, right? Upload your drawings. You don't need a human to go back and forth, right?
How quick is this?
In terms of like analysis?
Yeah.
If you pay more, we can make the analysis quicker, but it doesn't take long. So
when it doesn't take long, what is that? Like a few hours, a few minutes?
Minutes. So like if you minutes. Do, like for example, like and that's if you do like maybe like 10, 15 minutes of video, right? Then it'll maybe take max a few minutes. Other than that, it'll usually like if you give me like a 5 minute video, it'll be like usually like 20 seconds of processing time. And it depends. If you want just measurements, right? It's quick. If you want to do a image context, of course, that's gonna take a little bit more time, right? Because we're pulling images out of the video and flagging certain stuff. So that's what I mean will take up to like 20, 30 seconds. Otherwise, it's simple, like estimates and measurements are usually like, we try to keep it, well, we say instant, right? But it might be like a couple seconds.
At Royal Door and Trim Supplies Limited, they're not just delivering doors and trim, they're delivering possibilities. Proudly serving Toronto and the GTA with top quality interior doors and trim for every residential and commercial project. With 50 years of experience, expert craftsmanship, and a service that goes above and beyond, your space won't just look good, it'll feel exceptional. Visit royaldoor.ca, email them at sales@royaldoor.ca, or call them at 905-669-2954. Follow them on social at royal_door_LTD and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience reign at Royal. Royal Door and Trim Supplies, quality since 1975 and proudly Canadian. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Do you know Trax?
Yeah.
The X?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they're all about the code, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually, as far as I know, every single province and also national, and they have all that stuff put together, right?
For the consumer app, right? Consumer app, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it is, right?
So yeah.
They were on a long, long time ago, and I know that they're still trying to upload a bunch of stuff because the code keeps on changing, right?
Yeah.
But they're a good resource for me whenever I need to answer a question that has anything to do with the code, right? Because they'll, other than trying to navigate all these points, they find you exactly where you need to get to, so then you bypass a bunch of stuff that you don't need to look at to get the right answer, right?
So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do, but even in a fully automated approach. So like let's say you have buildings in whatever city, right? So like that'd be idea. You can just submit like permits, get them pre-approved in through Permit X. But then like we're trying to take the legislative route, right? So we get in with the cities, like for example, the city of Kitchener, if they mandate it or regulate it, like you guys, we want to make permits quicker. So you got to submit it to this portal first for pre-approval, right? And be like a kind of a pilot, but that's kind of how we envision it. Cause then it's like, we're trying to change the game here, right? We're trying to rechange how guys do permits.
You are in a better process. Like it makes sense. I mean, you're going to eliminate the human factor at the city planning department. Cause if you're submitting, you're uploading the drawings, right? And you've already scrubbed it through Quoto Graph to actually figure out, have we checked our, you know, crossed our T's, dotted our I's. You submit it to that AI portal with the city. You don't need a human to send it back and to review it because it's been reviewed and everything's been either agreed or not agreed on it, right? And anything that's not correct, they would just generate a report saying these are the missing items that need to be rectified, right? Is that the idea?
In a long-term goal, I guess you can say that, right? Or you can optimize like the city staff.
Well, I want to get rid of the staff of the city, right? Instead of having to wait on it.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to, is the city going to allow it, right? But yes, of course, because I think they a lot of guys will tell me when I tell them this idea, okay, well, the city enjoys saying no. They want to go back. They want that back and forth, right?
To justify employment?
Sure, yes, right?
Or, I know, but it's inevitable that this, like,
the of whole, course, okay, it's coming, yeah.
You know this, like, you've already shared it. It's like, how do you streamline this process?
Uh-huh.
How do you streamline is you get rid of the human factor, because they could read something and may not interpret it correctly, but if you've got an AI,
yep,
that's you guys.
It's unbiased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So yeah, what does that mean? That means it basically gets approved sooner.
Yeah.
It gets sent back to you faster, mm-hmm, which means that you now have a permit and quicker, now you can start building.
Yep. Exactly.
To hang on to it just to have employment for people, that's not a good enough reason, but I guess, mm-hmm, that's government and that's the city.
That's how it works. Yeah, exactly.
But that eventually has to change.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we're trying to be the ones to do it.
So you got an uphill battle.
With that, right? That's kind of like... Well, that's actually like we're considering opening that as like even another company. That Quotograph would kind of power, of course, with our technology, because it's a different game. It's a different industry, right?
Yeah.
Than even construction. It's like, so yeah, we're testing out the waters right now, right? To see kind of where it goes. But yeah, we're talking, I guess, with the city of Kitchener and Burlington to see where we can go, right? The whole thing is if we get in one city and we show it working, then you're in, right? That's the whole thing.
Toronto's going to be a tough one to get in.
Yeah. Olivia Chow, hit me up.
Well, first of all, she won't understand it, right? So I don't know about her planning department, but it'd be a challenge. I say it's going to be a challenge because of the corruption associated with the city. Mm. That's why I'm saying it's going to be a challenge, right?
Mm.
Because like that, you're talking about small town, Waterloo or anything like that. That's not a small town. It's a big city.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they might have a planning department that's interested in something like this because it will streamline things.
Yeah.
But when you get a bigger city like Toronto, it's going to be like, that basically means your tool is going to replace our 100 person employment force.
I mean, again, they're so busy.
I'm
yeah,
for it.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
want it, mm-hmm, because my thought process is streamlining it, get the permits sooner.
Yeah.
So you've got an unbiased AI program,
mm-hmm,
scanning everything.
Yeah.
And agreeing that this is correct.
Mm-hmm.
We'll build it.
Of course, yeah. Like, I mean, that's, I know people don't like it, right? Job loss. But like in practicality, when we implement with construction guys, they're not firing anyone, right? Yes, at the city, they might have to, right? But even then, because like for these, for even like a plumbing company, for example, right? Maybe before they were going, they're printing off their blueprints, sitting around getting their guys to measure it. Now they're saving a lot of time doing it digitally, but those guys are now just on site actually working, right? They're not going to fire those guys. They're actually like, before, they're just wasting their money getting those guys who are overqualified to do some simple, using a ruler, right? Like they can do more than that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So kind of same thing with the city. Like if these guys are qualified, like these, the city is always so behind in everything. Like, you know, they can reallocate resources, right? And that's why like you guys should see, because they see how annoying the permit process is, right? So like that's why we like get on board, because like we're not trying to like, I know you're saying we can let go of a lot of people, which we could, right? But it's like, we can really just optimize your process. Like what else do you guys need to do, right? Like let's reallocate you guys towards other stuff, right?
Well, my biggest gripe with a human factor associated with the approval of a drawing is if they find one thing that's slightly incorrect or it's incorrect in general,
yeah,
it gets pushed to a different queue. It's as simple as that. Until
yeah,
you contact them to ask them, where am I at in the queue?
Yeah.
Right. And then they tell you, they'll go, well, let me review it. And then they'll go through and then they'll see a red flag. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, this one issue was an issue. So now we didn't move it forward. But that would have been taken care of with Quotograph to begin with. So then you guys would not have seen anything.
Yeah.
My problem is, and I've had this with people on the show before, is the education of the person on the other end trying to read what's already been perfectly set up for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you've done. Like, this is Quotograph. This is what it's about. It's
yeah,
like, we've scanned it, gone over everything, and it's correct. This is correct. It's yeah, an A++ project.
Yeah.
Everything's all lined up. It's correct to your municipality.
Yep, exactly.
So we're submitting it now. But then now you got a hot shot, so to speak, employee on the city people.
I don't like that.
I know. Like, yeah, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. And that could be a rule from an old code, or it could be a rule of a discussion code in the future. Mm. And I'm like, but that's not your job as the planner and examiner. Your job is to abide by the rules regarding the OBC.
Mm.
Bottom line. So if Quotograph is relying on the rules of the OBC,
which we are,
which you are, so you're submitting it correctly, and I don't care about your personal opinion on what you think if this drawing's correct or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting element, right? But that's what I mean, is I want to get rid of that. If that means I'm firing people, it doesn't bother me because it gets the project started sooner, so then the workers can get going on it.
Yeah.
Isn't that the objective of the city planning office anyway?
Of course, yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be publicly sounding, but it's not, right? Because the thing is, everybody has to, I guess, validate their employment there. But we're going to replace you with tools like this.
You hear all the time. It's like, you know, maybe you can submit maybe the same, you know, permit to two different cities, right? But one guy is going to flag something. Even if both the cities have the same bylaw, right? Yeah, it's all about bias, right?
Now it becomes a bias on a personal level, not a professional level.
Exactly.
So you need to get rid of that. And not everybody, including builders and trades, they don't know every single code. We have to do references. But if you've got something like Quotagraph going, listen, it's already scanned everything. It's up to date on this. It's up to date on that. And no, this is correct.
Yeah.
This is like, it doesn't make mistakes, right? So it should just get approved and now we get moving on it.
Exactly.
So, okay, that's something else. That's interesting. What do you want? Do you want to show us anything or do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. I guess we could, we talked a lot about the future. We can maybe talk about what we're doing right now as well. So Quota Report and Quota Measure. So Quota Report, we already touched on. It's like basically automated summary and safety reports, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, we can maybe start there. Just kind of give a quick rundown of what that actually looks like.
This is your office? You got a lot of sunlight.
I was recording in my office, but I got a whole bunch of stuff in my back, like posters and stuff. And I was told to...
Oh, you got a screen. Okay.
To for once. No, this is real. To go somewhere nice and record some demos.
Got it. Okay.
So that's why I went here.
I'll show you guys exactly what Quota Report is all about. So first things first, you can log in at report.quotagraph.io. Once you create an account, this is exactly what you will see. All you have to do is upload a video of your construction site, give us a little bit just to analyze it, and then boom, you have your automated summary and safety report automatically generated right for you. And then boom, like you see there, the report is generated. All you have to do is click on check report. So first things first, what are you going to see? You're going to see a beginning to end summary of exactly anything that's going on in the video. So anything that we can analyze, we'll give you a nice summary of, and then we'll give you some nice risks and recommendations to make sure that there's no hazards on site that you're not already aware of. Here, you can also see some very, very severe potential risks as well. These guys are not wearing any hard hats, so I'm sure most construction companies would want to get that addressed ASAP. If you would like to improve it for any reason, we do have an improved report function as well. So maybe if you saw the PPE was missing there, maybe you want to regenerate that report with a focus on that PPE, which would of course be really amazing. Once you're done with your report though, you can export it as a PDF. This is a different project. You'll see here the concrete with some nice images and risks and recommendations.
So yeah, that's Quota Report.
So you're just uploading a video
and you saw, so I know we clipped this to make it even shorter, but the full video will be on YouTube. You saw the one guy who's carrying the wiring mesh by himself. So we recommended get a buddy. And of course the PPE thing was huge, right?
Yeah.
Guys were not wearing their helmets.
So you can basically get on a site, either have your site super record a video and then upload it to Quota Report and it'll give you this report here. And then it'll give you recommendations on what needs to be done.
You can, or let's say you're using OpenSpace, you're already using it, just send us just talk with us, we can set up a custom integration, you'll just send us the 360 images, same thing, you're already doing the walkthrough and we'll create you the same report.
So you don't even need to do video, you could just do imagery.
If you have, OpenSpace is 360 imagery, or you can do a series of imagery. Video is usually the easiest, but if you have that set up, we can do that as well. Wow.
Okay.
So yeah, this is...
So that's a report. So you can spit out a PDF report of everything that the video, that Quota Report saw, and now you got to... Obviously, yeah. So we've sped this up. And now you can do that, what? Like once a week kind of thing? Wrap it up at the start of the week or the beginning of the week? You decide as a builder. You start...
Whatever you want, yeah. Owner. I mean, if you're a big GC and you're doing a lot of fixtures are coming in, maybe you're doing a scan 2 times a day, right? Or I mean, even 3, right? Like, you know, morning, lunch, and before you go home, right? A smaller sub-trade, if they want to keep track, maybe it's once every even few days, right?
So you can get a site super, videotape, sub-trades doing work, upload the video, and within a few minutes, that site super will get a report. Mm-hmm. That report could be sent to the sub trades.
Yep.
Guys, issues here.
Yep.
Whatever it is, mm-hmm. whether they're building it or PPE or whatever it is, right? Yep. And then they have that information now. So the line of dialogue is there. Mm. You guys, tomorrow morning when you get on site, I expect improvements.
Of course.
That's it.
Yep. Safety risk, right? We know it's a safety risk. You tell me who your safety manager is. I'm now automatically going to send that safety alert to John, whoever the safety manager is, in PDF, rep, text, whatever he wants, right? Even quicker. Huh. So yeah, that's the whole goal of it.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What's this video? Another one?
So this one is just the simple 2D measurement. So this is, we had another, we started doing this kind of stuff and companies just started coming to us like, hey, I'm doing this traditionally. Let's do it. There's got to be a better way, right? So in this example, we had a plumbing company come to us and they say, hey, we're printing off our blueprint still, all right? And we're doing it manually. This is actually what we created. We created this kind of custom for them, but now it's just taken off with all the sub trades.
Okay.
So if anyone is still doing traditional measurements, this is pretty good for them.
Which is essentially a new way to get measurements for any blueprints or takeoffs. So all you have to do is upload your floor plans, and then step two is going to be entering your scale. So in this example, I've already gone through it, so the scale is 1 to 100, but we know that's usually going to be in the bottom right-hand corner, so you just go ahead and enter that. Next, I know there's three options are available right now. If you want to do freehand measurements, there you go. If you want to do a straight line measurement, you can do that as well. And lastly, is going to be a continuous measurement. So let's say you want to measure this sink in one hand, one side of the document, do another measurement on the complete other side. You are able to do that. Just make your lines, click on done. We'll add it up all for you. And there you go. There is your one continuous measurement. That is literally how simple PhotoMeasure is. We're also releasing a fully automated version within the next month. So instead of you even having to highlight your sink or your tub or anything even in the legend, you would just be able to select that and we would do the auto detection for you to save you guys even more and more time, because we know how valuable time is. So if you guys are interested in that fully automated approach, just keep an eye out for those growth and enterprise tiers. But if you are interested in just trying out PhotoMeasure, please go to measure.photograph.io and start your subscription.
Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate to metal, flat roofs to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca, or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. So you get a free trial, right?
So you can do, if you use the code TCL50, so for quarter report, we're doing 50% off for 3 months. On all subscriptions, and then Quoto measure 50% off on all sign up fees as well.
So I can upload the drawings.
Yep.
I've got the PDF.
Yep.
And now through Quota Report or Quota Measures, this is Quota Measures.
This is Quota Measure, yeah. This is very simple. You want your measurements for floor plans.
Yeah, so basically you can get a sub tray, whether it's plumber, electrician, what have you.
Yeah.
And you could already figure out what your roofs are going to be. Like that quickly.
Don't print them off. Yeah. You get sent a PDF. Don't print them off.
Don't print it off. Basically, now you can just do it and go. And all of a sudden, you've just now line marked everything.
Yeah.
And you guys have given me all my lengths that I need for this particular project.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Yeah. You can use that right now. Yeah, that's good to go, right? The only thing we're still working on is the AI version, which is going to be even cooler. So let's say, and this is coming out very soon as well. A general contractor, they have these floor plans. How many wheelchair ramps am I getting myself into, right? You know, what is the, heating lines, water lines, gas lines, right? These are three lines that I want to know, right? If I select it, can you auto detect it for me, right?
Based on the 2D drawings.
Exactly. Instead of me even having to do those digital measurements.
When does that come in?
We're aiming for June 1st.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So we're just, there's one company that's doing it so far, and the AI takeoffs that I'm aware of, that's actually, like, I guess, good. A lot of companies are trying it, right? The feedback I've gotten, because I know we have a lot of customers using them, like, for other products as well, their accuracy is not the best.
They're so off?
Yeah. Like, for example, if you want to know your doors, like, they're high, like, A, they can only do straight lines. So anything circular, they're not detecting properly. Even for the straight lines, like even for doors, like or walls, like they're missing a lot of stuff. So the accuracy is just not there. So you might as well just do it yourself digitally, right?
Which is what you're doing right now.
You can just do it, exactly.
But in another month,
I don't want to, yeah, I'm not trying to piss people. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to offer it, then offer it with the working solution, right?
So you can input the joints and basically have your numbers right away that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's super simple. Good to go, yeah.
Yeah, it's applicable to every single trade, every single line.
Every single one.
Yeah, basically every single one, whatever is contributing to the work that needs to be done on that drawing.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man.
Mm.
Okay, what else? Is there anything else?
These are all the demos I got. But we
No. That's why I was fascinated when we first talked. I was just like, basically, we know, everyone that's listening, we know how it's done, how it used to be done, and how we are trying to, I think there's a lot of hybrids going on. I think a lot of tradespeople and business owners, they use a bit of this and a bit of that, and then they kind of melt them together, and that's how they get their numbers. But you're basically coming with Quota and just you're offering everything at one place, right?
Exactly.
One
source, that's what we're trying to do, yeah. So eventually we'll offer that, we'll bridge everything together, right? Right now it is even like Quota Report, Quota Measure, but yeah, eventually it'll be like one portal, right? So you want to do your measurements, you can track everything, right? Because you'll have your floor plans, and then you shift to 3D, right?
Yeah.
And then you have your progress, right? So we just, like, what's missing right now is just putting it all together. But you can still use, of course, your floor plan, then get a report for it as well, right?
Here's a quick question for you. On the 2D level, how does your app or how does your platform detect 3D scope? So if you've got certain things that are moving horizontally on a plane regarding a floor, and now they have to go vertically on a wall and then go to another horizontal plane, it's already factoring that in?
So the floor plans we're just using for as a reference point, right? So when they're doing the 3D analysis, we're doing like a 3D mock-up or like a 3D render of the space, right? And that's how we can get the measurements and compare that to the measurements that are supposed to be in the floor plan.
Got it.
Plus you'll have other stuff as well, project scope stuff, right? Like what do you need in each room? Usually just a list that we can also verify with that reconstruction.
That's pretty cool,
man. Yeah. Or especially if you for walkthroughs, like you'll have a floor plan, right?
Yeah.
And you're gonna do a walkthrough, but you'll pinpoint on your floor plan where you're gonna do your walkthrough, right? That really helps us because now you're gonna do your walkthrough, and we know exactly where in the floor plan you're walking through, right? If you know your flight path, or even for a drone, right? If you know your flight path, it's just another layer to make it more accurate. Because yes, we have the 3D model to analyze, but now if I have your floor plan to compare that against, I also know what's supposed to be there, right? Like an office is supposed to be there with these dimensions, with this window, with this door.
Have you thought of, I don't know if you have, I'm just thinking about this out loud, on the finishing, like on the design level of things. Have you already started having conversations with them about that? Because there's a certain rule of thumb, so to speak, on how much space you're supposed to need for clearances on certain things. Hallways are supposed to be a minimum, max, that kind of idea. Design-wise, though, placements of furnishings, placements of things like that, is that eventually where you're going to get to as well, too, so you open up to that market?
I mean, it'd be great for them, like for an appliance. It could be
anybody,
It'd be, you're right. I mean, that's the end goal.
It's the flow of the actual dwelling, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, because like we have a good partnership, I guess, with like some furniture or appliance people, like even G-Man Appliances. We haven't, I guess, pitched them or, hey, let's kind of integrate, because it's like we're not there yet, right? Where like eventually, once you have the, as I mentioned, that full comprehensive solution, where like now all these GCs, like, okay, we got the measurements and everything. We have to order our supplies or order our appliances, right? Let's just order it through the app as well. Right, we already have the measurements, so you know they can upload, for example, their whole catalog, right? Whatever appliance company wants to work with us, and then boom, general contractor, subcontractor, you know the measurements, everything, like digitally, right? Or maybe you're communicating with your customer, hey, these are the five ovens that are going to fit. What do you think, right? No, you don't have to show up in person even.
You just gave me another thought too as well. Uh-huh. I mean, most businesses are loyal to certain suppliers.
Of course.
And that's because of that's how construction is, right?
Yeah.
could you already send this to your supplier and already have it all set up? It's like, I've already taken it off. I already know what it is. And mm-hmm. now I'm connected with my supplier, so I'm going to send it to them directly. They're going to facilitate pulling everything and figuring out, okay, well, I need 1,000 feet of this,
mm-hmm.
but the supplier will know how many spools I'll need
yep.
to reach 1,000 feet.
Of course.
So that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, you can, yeah, exactly. They can do themselves, right? You can say, hey, I have this much whatever wiring that I need, this much feet of piping that I need, right? Boom, right? Especially the automated version, right? If that's what you need. You're,
yeah, but based on quota, you could probably look at it like if you somehow connect it where, let's just generalize. So there's lots of suppliers in construction here, right?
Yeah.
You can do Wolseley, you can do Next, you can do whatever it is, right? Wolseley maybe carries a specific brand of coil or something. And it comes in these spools at these lengths. So it could already start to factor in on your list of material. Mm. I need this because you're purchasing from Wolseley kind of thing.
Mm, of course. But if you want to connect it with those suppliers, then
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So you can let your supplier know that we're using Quotagraph and we're using these reports and measures and about that.
Send them.
I'm going to send you this. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Makes their lives easier.
Yeah. I mean, some guys I've found, they're already using like third party companies to do their estimating and stuff, right? They get the floor plans.
Yeah, that's big.
Of course, right? Hey, do it for, yeah, exactly, right? So now it's even much more streamlined, right? Everything, all the information that they're going to do originally is extracted, right? So now you send that to your supplier, it's like, hey, this is exactly what I need, right? And then boom, they send you back, okay, this is the estimate.
So, Todd, like, what have you learned about construction? Other than, yeah, people are stuck in their ways and this is how we've always done it.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a long, long time to try something new. But once it works and it proves to them that it's actually going to help their business, i.e. make more money, profit.
Yeah.
That's what the objective is in any construction company.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you learned about construction?
I mean, of course, the biggest thing is the dollar value, right? So if you're actually going to make a sale to a construction guy, like you can't have any bullshit, right? You gotta get right to the point. And it's like, what am I gonna do for you, right? Like straight to the point. We were saying we're gonna save you guys CO2 emissions when we first started. No one gives a fuck.
Nobody cares,
right? So it's like the social initiative stuff in this industry doesn't matter as much. The biggest takeaway honestly is being direct, right? It's like, I can't think of anything else that's more important. Cause if they will sense bullshit at the first sign of it, right? As soon as they sense it, like they're not interested anymore.
They'll
right?
listen to you if you're direct.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you're peeling off the Band-Aid really fast. It doesn't. They rather it happen instead of you bullshit them.
Yeah, but they also appreciate the hard work as well, right? So they just see like this guy, even though maybe he's doing software, like it's very they construction guys do a lot of sales. Like it's all sales, right? And essentially, right? So if they see me constantly reaching out, like, oh, this guy, he's like, he's got something, you know, he won't give up, you know? And that's when I think I've also, like, they'll start to respect that as well. The grit. That's what they want, right? The grit, right? They see, because a lot of software guys, like, they don't got the grit, right? They're not going to construction sites. And even when we first started, it was way too much, like, I was hanging around with too many tech people who knew nothing about construction. But now, like, I'm only hanging around with construction guys, right? Like, send me to the construction events. I don't care about tech events anymore, you know?
To get a sense of what problems you can solve.
Exactly, because it's all, when you're hanging with AI guys, you think of a lot of great ideas. Hey, like, well, we can use AI to do this and this and that. But, like, when you actually talk to, like, real people that are going to pay for it, you get a different response back, right? You learn other stuff that you wouldn't learn when you're just thinking about how we can design stuff. You need both.
The truth of the matter with construction, I think, is that a lot of the older guys, and I would say anywhere from 50 and up, they don't understand AI, so they dismiss it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other younger guys maybe pretend that they know about AI, but they still don't know how to use it yet in their scope.
Yeah.
They need a little bit of guidance. I that's what I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the really young ones, the ones that are just getting started in their 20s, they maybe want to just implement everything with AI.
Yeah.
But that's just throwing a bunch of ideas at one problem and hoping one sticks. And I don't think that's the solution either. I think in all three cases, it has to be more directional and finite, where it's like you're going right after the problem with these solutions, period.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if
that'll work best.
Yeah. I mean, there's simple solutions. If you want to even like start, for example, like with, I don't know, like a chat bot, right? It's like some guy that goes to your website, right? I don't know, like what a lot of construction guys, they don't care about their website, I've noticed, right? Right. Exactly. Right. Maybe Instagram, but like, I don't know. I'll see a guy's website's down. Like, hey, your website's down. Want us to fix that for you and make a little extra sale? Doesn't care. Right. So even like if they want to, if they care about it, if you're missing out on sales, if I want a fence built and I can't call you and I can't go to your website, I'm not going to give you my money, right? So if you had a website with you, maybe a chat bot that said, hey, just upload a photo and I'll get back to you, right? Now I'm waiting for your, at least something's in progress, right? I feel like, okay, at least like I can relax for a bit, I can do something else because you're going to get back to me for next steps, right?
I agree with you. The downfall about construction is when they're busy, they don't care. When they're not busy, they don't have the money or the time to care to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bullshit, right? It shouldn't be that way. You should just be constantly busy where you're booking 2-3 months down the line. Mm-hmm. And you line up your clients correctly. That's all it is. Sure. Thank you very much for, you've approved the quote. Everything's fine. We've looked at everything. We've broken down all the material lists. We know exactly what it's going to cost. We know exactly how much profit we're going to make on this project. I've got you booked in for June X, whatever. This is the time when we're going to get started. We'll see you then. Thank you very much. And start the process of payments regarding deposit and starting that payroll system.
Mm.
That's how it should be, but they don't pay attention to that, right?
Mm. I think times are changing now, though. Like, I think...
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of construction apps that are coming out now, right? Like, Jobber's been killing it recently, I will say, for the smaller sub-trades, and that's just, like, the simple stuff. Like, they're not even doing... Like, you still have to do the invoice yourself, right? But traditionally, it was by like on paper, right? So even that, like that first step of you're doing it digitally, but you're still doing it digitally, but manually, right? So now like, a lot of guys are on Jobber, right? And they're doing stuff like that, but it's a high price point, right? So it's like, it's slowly coming, but it's like you mentioned, the old, like the veteran guys, like they're probably gonna be stuck in their ways and for the rest of eternity, right?
How long has Jobber been around?
A couple of years, I'd say.
That's it. It feels like it's been longer.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just curious,
right? I don't know either for sure, but
I didn't break it down. But you're right, though. From what I understand, from speaking to people,
it's
a digital idea that's still being done manually.
Yeah,
and that's the integration that they've chosen, which I understand because of the market that they're going into.
Yeah,
you don't want to scare the shit out of certain people, right? Mm-hmm. But then you'll find those unicorns. I've had older guys in their 60s who are like, "Listen, I'm listening to the young guys."
Yeah.
I'm listening. I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
I get these kind of words, these phrases that come up that are associated with AI, right? And then I start paying attention to it, and then I'll look it up. Mm-hmm. And you're also, it's really refreshing to hear 60-plus-year-old tradespeople actually speak to me and talk to other people going, yeah, I was on chat the other day, and I was like typing in this and checking out that. So I'm like, great. A 60-plus-year-old tradesperson is on ChatGPT finding answers or asking questions.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Mm.
We don't want just the young generation doing that. We want the old generation doing it too. And the reason that they do that is because they want to be competitive.
Mm.
They can only last so long with just handshakes and referrals personally. They need to start getting other businesses. Also, I think that they're also paying attention to what's my business going to be like when I leave it.
Mm.
Does it get shut down or does it get it handed down to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Or does somebody else find it? And I'm going to assume with this, you lay it out, man. It's all laid out.
Mm.
Like someone is intrinsic, like that's attracted to buying your business. Mm-hmm. If they discover that you're laying out your business this way, they're going to want to buy it because it's set up versus some business that's not set up and it's all handshake and it's the person that just sold it.
Yep.
That's not going to survive, right?
Mm. Scalable, yeah.
It's 100% scalable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Like I told you, man, I'm fascinated by it. I'm totally fascinated by what you're doing, right?
Yeah. I think we start, we started off trying to do everything, right? And that's why, honestly, when we started off, it was like we weren't getting the best reception, right? But now, because it's like we, when we kind of differentiated and given very specific, like if I say, hey, like, you know, Manny, I'm going to send me a video. I'm going to run it through our special LLM. And, you know, we have the special like construction prompt and like it's going to give you a great report. You don't care, right? But if I say, Manny, he's not wearing his helmet. He's not wearing his PPE.
I know.
Just give me a video and I can tell you that, right?
No, but I'm still on LLM.
Exactly.
What is that?
A large language model.
Okay. Just that's what I mean, right? So, but I'm not the only one. A lot of people, and it just goes over their head, right? Uh-huh.
Exactly.
But they know that they need these tools because I go back to it's going to make them money.
Mm-hmm. That's like, all they care about.
That's. I don't care who you are in the construction or any business owner. Mm-hmm. It's about making money.
Yeah, yeah.
Making money means you're surviving. Mm. Simple as that, right? Mm. So if you can make more money, be efficient, work half the hours, who's not going to take that pie, right? Everybody wants that shit.
I mean, traffic here is so bad. Like, I don't know who wants to go just drive for fun, right? Maybe, like, who wants to go give an estimate and then it doesn't close, right? Like, no one likes that feeling, right? Or if, like, you can give your customers a rough idea, right? Like, there's so many ways to kind of optimize, right? Because sometimes the guys will just, they want a rough idea and then they're just searching for prices. They're not actually serious about the project, right?
Could you, Taj, like, could you ask Quota, okay, let's say you bid, you organized a dozen jobs. You were fortunate enough to get these leads and they came in and they're good sized jobs. They could be small, medium, whatever. It doesn't matter, right?
Mm.
Could you ask it, tell me how to input this for the schedule? Which one should be first? Which one should be last? And how can we work that with the geographic targeting regarding our congestion of traffic in the greater Toronto area? Mm. Is that a possibility?
We can 100% build that. It's not built right now, but yeah, if you have all those jobs, because some guys, like, they'll operate where maybe, like, you know, I'm only going to estimate in Burlington on Monday, Tuesday,
they
right?
They do that. Yeah, I've had guys who are like, listen, my radius is 20 kilometers and this is my epicenter. Mm. I'm only doing work here. But if you got a job and it's an attractive job, let's say in the East End, then you secured another job that's in probably well north of the city, and then you got another one that's well west. If there's a way that you can schedule it a certain way with your subtrades and everybody know, go, listen, we're going to start here and we're going to work our way all the way to these other jobs. And now we're efficient for everybody, all the trades, not just the business owners. We're efficient for everybody.
Yeah.
That's attractive, I think, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, we built it into the marketplace idea because that was going to be the whole goal, right? The contractors getting all these projects coming in. It's like, hey, now you got to route. What's your route to do it, right? So we have built it, but again, the marketplace is not live right now, right? So if a contractor does want it, they can still use it, but it'll be on whatever, like their own system, right? Like their own landing page, their own app.
Okay, what else do you want to share?
I don't know, man. I want to learn about your 750. So you've
750, 750 shows. Technically, we passed it already, but I just had to organize and put it all together, right? And then we're going to have a good bunch of people. Over 100 people are going to be there. And we're going to talk about the industry.
Mm.
I was strategic enough to attract older guys to come as a guest panel. And then I'm going to float around in the audience, and I'm going to invite anybody to ask a question or share a comment, whatever. Mm. And with our recent election that we just had, I think a lot of people, from what I've spoken to, because as soon as it happened, I had a lot of people DM me, text me, talk to me, and it's as if I have answers. I'm like, I don't have the answers. I'm just like, I'm sharing my opinion. But what I like about the panel is, I mean, not without, like, I don't want to point fingers like that. There's going to be a perspective of both sides.
Okay.
So it's like some are for, some are against. They think what recently happened is positive. Others think it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do like is that the panel has survived two other really bad recessions in the past. Now, were they as bad as what we're about to experience in the near future?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, but they'll have some input on how to survive that. Mm. So I'm encouraging everybody who's coming out that day, come with questions, man. Come with you know, talking points, comments, like, don't be reserved, don't be hiding, don't, everyone there, pretty much, I would say 90%, 95% of people that are coming have been where you're sitting right now, right?
Yeah.
So they have been on the mic, they've gotten over the jitters of being nervous and talking about openly things.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that there is going to be a bombardment of questions. Like, I don't want people to just reserve. I'm like, listen, you got a few hours here with a bunch of people that this doesn't happen all that often, first of all.
Of course.
Not a lot of people create events like this because it is an undertaking to do it to begin with. And what I honestly think, from what I look at the list, I think there's a reflection of every single tradesperson that's in the industry right now. Whether you're a builder, a big builder, small builder, whether you're any of the trades in general, you're going to be interested in being in that group. And then everyone's going to have their name tags and everyone's going to know who's who if you haven't seen them on the show. But you at least get a sense of their business and what they've achieved in their business and what's working, what's not working. And unfortunately, there is going to be a certain amount of people that are coming that are struggling right now trying to figure out answers, right? So my objective with this event is I want everybody to show up with a bunch of questions and I want everybody to leave with a bunch of answers. Far more answers than questions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the objective there, right? And hopefully that happens, right? And there'll be food, the good food, and it's going to be fun. And I'm going to encourage everybody to be the social, you know, butterfly that we so much hate. But I think I want it to be extremely a positive experience, right, for everybody. So that's what's happening there, right? You're going to be there. We're going to talk about it as well, too.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Everyone will have some questions and answers from there. But at least they'll listen to this show after that event happens, right? And then they can at least get more information from you that way. And that's why we just email you and give it a try at that point, right?
Of course, yeah. I really wanted to ask. Yeah, you're so vocal about it on Instagram and everything, you know? So I wanted to ask you, what are your opinions on everything going on right now? We just had an election.
We had a strategic marketing election.
Yeah.
That's all we had. And unfortunately, a large portion of the population in Canada voted against Trump. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, right? And I think the majority of construction people, I would say 90% of construction people, were disappointed with the outcome.
Yeah.
Because I think there isn't going to be much growth in construction. And that's where it goes back to what I'm going to be messaging and telling people at this event is that it's not dark days ahead. And it's not like, don't start thinking I'm folding up my toolbox, I'm packing up, I'm getting the hell out of construction.
Yeah.
It's not like that. I think you need to figure out how to become more efficient, to be more profitable and try to figure out how you still grow your business during this hard time. And if you look in history, anything, a lot of people, they grow during hard times.
That's the time to grow.
That's the time to grow, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, I think it's unfortunate because there's other agendas at play here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree with the whole climate and the green, and I don't believe in any of that shit, right? It does. What I want is construction starts.
Yeah.
Construction starts, you know, like digging in the earth and getting pipelines going. That's workers, in my opinion. That's what I see, right? If we can sell that crude oil offshore, we've got the third largest reservoir in the entire world. The entire world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not even our side of the neck of the woods, right? We should be using that. Like, there's so much conflict of interest regarding what's going on. And the unfortunate thing is that the election wasn't an election. It wasn't democracy. It was a marketing experiment. And they chose it correctly. Right? They used the bad guy to sell a lot of people. And the problem is that, like, it was pretty clear. I mean, like, when the U.S. put their tariffs on, everybody was like, let's buy Canadian, right?
Yep.
But you were still walking into, you know, China, Canadian Tire, and all the products are from China. You're still going to Amazon, you're buying all the products there, they're all from China.
Yeah.
So, but then all of a sudden, the very next month, China puts tariffs that are four times as much as what Trump did. But nobody ever spoke out about those tariffs. It's a marketing machine at that point, right? So if you really want to support Canadian, then it should be homegrown Canadian, right? And then homegrown Canadian workers building Canadian products. Well, that also means digging in the ground. That means like creating infrastructure here, jobs here.
We got to do something. Yeah. Yeah.
I spoke to a lumber supplier recently. A lot of our lumber goes down south.
Yeah.
Goes to China and goes down south, right? And so he's furious. And as I was talking to him, and I've known this guy all like 15 plus years, I was talking to him and I was like, holy shit, you voted liberal, right? I'm thinking, yeah. And he goes, oh yeah, well, Trump's a bad guy. And I was like, why don't you start selling your lumber here in our own backyard? Why don't you get construction starts here in our own backyard? Why don't we start building projects here, divisions here? Why don't we just do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because that, what is that going to do? That's going to give more jobs and create more economy, and then people will start stimulating and buying shit.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to rely solely on that shit, right? So I think it's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people. I don't think it's going to be an easy 4 years, man, for construction.
I hope it's not 4 years.
I don't see how it's going to get a call of a vote. I don't really see how it's going to happen when you've got so-called a minority. But again, marketing.
Yeah.
Right? You're still going to get a coalition. I guarantee you that's the next step. So, and then you've got the conservatives talking about, well, we'll just be patient and we'll wait.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Ford didn't support Pierre. There's got to be some healing within the Conservative Party first, you know?
Yeah, well, Doug Ford is not a conservative, right? That's just how it is. Doug Ford is an individual for himself. He doesn't care. He's got his... It's funny how these politicians are taking care of themselves, but they're not taking care of the people. And the people need to start taking care of themselves, right? So you got a lot of worried construction workers. You really do. Like, I was hoping that the conservatives would have came in, so all of a sudden spending would have stopped, which means that spending would have started for projects here in Canada, which means streamlining of the building process, because that's a bottleneck there.
Yeah.
But also reducing those fees. We are very aware of all those municipal fees regarding one-third of construction starts go right to the government, which in my opinion is a waste of money and time and effort, right? So you need to reduce that. So what's going to happen in the next 4 years, in my opinion, is housing is going to get more expensive. There's going to be fewer jobs. You're going to lose a lot more economy and wealth here. You're not going to dig in the ground here, so you have no jobs that way. So, and the unions are going to be scared too. That's what's going to happen, right? They're going to try desperately. I had one kid reach out to me, and he was like, well, I'm kind of hoping Carney gets in. This is before.
Yeah.
Because he's promising bringing 350,000 new workers into construction. Well, they're still on the platform saying that we have a labor shortage, which is not the truth. When you've got a union force that's half of it is at home not working. And a union member that's not home not working and not paying union dues doesn't get a chance to vote. That's union rules. So why do you need to bring in 350,000 more people into an industry that's not working? That marketing point doesn't make any sense to me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it sounds great on a campaign trail, and it attracts...
It's all bullshit, man. It's all bullshit, yeah.
But that, I feel for the younger trades, because I've said it on the show so many times before. You guys are losing these younger trades before you even give them an opportunity to learn the construction business. And then they'll go find another industry to be a part of. Will it be in Canada or will it be abroad? I don't know.
So many people are going to go to down south, I think. I mean, in our own group, like, people are like, they're seriously going to Florida. Like, they're moving to Florida.
Corporations are starting to move.
Yeah.
Right? You can't survive here corporately with the amount of taxes that are coming down the pipe. You can't. It's just a fact, right? So as a business owner, you're starting something up here. You're parked here in Canada. You know what you're going to end up paying as a result of this, right? So that's why I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if there'll be an election, no confidence, another. We're going to play that. We just finished playing that game the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? And we had one person block all that just for his pension. So what's the difference right now? There's going to be a coalition, whether it's going to be with the Bloc or if it's going to be for the remaining few members of the NDP. The point is that all he needs is three more seats for a majority.
Yeah.
Majority government basically means that whatever bill you put forward, we shoot it down. Whatever bill we want to put forward, it gets approved.
They're 167 right now? Or
I think they're three away from majority.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I pay attention to it, and what's going to happen is that he'll pluck three from the Bloc or from the NDP.
Yeah.
One or two, whatever, from each or whatever it is. He'll get the three by promising stuff to them, and then they'll just come over the fence.
Yeah.
And now you got a majority, and that's what we've just struggled with for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
We struggled with a majority coalition that prevented a no confident vote, right? And so you're going to fight that for four more years?
Yeah. No, man. I used to be so into politics, but I honestly, I was like, man, fuck this shit.
It's challenging now because it's not a democracy, right? So it's just like, that's what I shared. I was curious about what I should share the very next day. And I noticed a lot of people that I follow that are very political on the stage.
Yeah.
One of them has been on the show before. And they strategically lined out what just happened. And a lot of it was everybody voted against conservative because they wanted to vote against Trump. And I'm like, Trump is not the issue, man. Like, that's not the issue here. We have tariffs against Canada, or against the States, U.S. Yeah. U.S. has tariffs against us. But nobody's talking about the tariffs coming from China coming here. We all know this. China has an EV that can be sold here in Canada. Much cheaper than Tesla's EVs.
Yeah.
But there's 100% tariff on it. So if you're so green initiative, take the tariff off.
They won't.
They won't. So that's not the object. Like, the... It's going to be scary. Like right now, another million people for the next 4 years, four more million immigrants coming to Canada. It's already a problem right now. When Carney talks about modular home building as the future of this world, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not. It's a product of construction.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not going to get every builder doing modular, right? And then the problem I have is if you dig down into who's building these modular units, they're going to get built in China and shipped over here. Why? Because it's cost effective.
Of course.
So you can't even, so, but it'll get sold to the people here. We're going to build a lot of modular units. They're going to be a fraction of a typical house. You'll be able to live in this unit, which is going to be a box. It's just a box that's a precursor to your box in the ground, right? That's all it is.
Yeah.
And you're going to be happy doing that. It's fine. But they'll never tell you that it was manufactured and shipped from China.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't want to hear that. Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what they're these box, like, have you heard of Boxable before?
Yeah.
That's where I think that's... If they mandate stuff like that, man, it's...
Well, why hasn't it taken off yet? Boxable is run by, I know a little bit about him, a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire. Like, when you're a billionaire, Taj, like, think about it. You wake up in the morning. You have a net worth of, let's just say, $1 billion. What do you say to yourself? Let me fuck around with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to create these boxable units that I can unfold on site. Right? I get it. Why hasn't it exploded? Like, I get the problem is that homes, cars, everything that's being built, we talked about appliances, all this other shit. I had someone share me a meme. He's like, I want to buy a washer that's not Bluetooth connected and has regular knobs on it. Right? I think there's going to be a rebellion where we want these simple products. There's reasons why I share certain things on my feed where it's like I shared the car door of a 70s car and the caption was, this weighs heavier than your car, your whole car today because of what's inside that car door, right? And it's a roll down turning window. You know, maybe it has an ashtray or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You're going to get a bunch of people who want the simplicity of that shit, right? They don't want to put on a VR system and then you pretend that you're cycling in the Alps or some shit and you got your exercise because your heart rate was elevated because you virtually were in there.
Yeah.
They're going to want realism now, right? It's just like our government doesn't even allow us to grow our own vegetables in our backyard. They're trying to stop that shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't understand all these things. Like, it's a contradiction.
Yeah.
And even his book is a contradiction. He says a lot of certain things, and I don't trust anybody who takes yacht trips or private plane trips telling the mass people to not travel anymore.
Yeah.
Or not go away anymore. Like, I don't trust anybody like that, right?
Yeah, of course.
So that's our leader, right? And our leader, if you want to see his resume, look at London right now. Look at the UK right now. It's not in good shape.
Don't want to be there.
It's not in good shape. I've got a good friend who's coming here to the event, Clifford. He's a super nice guy. He's been on the show three times, and he just got back. And so he's excited about coming back. He's been swamp busy. And all of a sudden I was like, yeah, we got a lot to catch up, man. I want to talk to you a little bit, right? So he was just there. And I know the media doesn't report that shit, right? So I mean, the event's really about, we want to give these tradespeople some viable hope.
Yeah. But as a tradesperson, like for example, for me, I can start selling my tech to Europe, to state, wherever. I don't get, doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
For a trades guy, you know, it's hard to just pick up everything and just relocate down south somewhere, you know?
Sub trades, it's not that hard. If you're part of the top three, you can go almost anywhere in the world and you can get certified pretty quickly and then start working in that neighborhood. If you're a builder, if you're fine-tuned, finished carpenter, things like that, it's a lot more challenging. When you built your roots here, and then most of these trades that are going to be there at the event, they all have families. They all have young ones, right? So it's like uprooting them and going someplace else. The question becomes, where are you going to go? Like, UK is not an attractive place to go to right now. There's lots of shit going around all of the European cities right now. Is the US a good place to be? I mean, like, you got people saying that US is going to explode. And I was like, I don't think it's going to explode. I think Trump is just taking care of his own backyard. That's all he's doing, right? He's creating jobs. Factories are coming back into America. Sure, the products are going to cost more money.
Yeah.
But start accepting that, man. If you want cheap stuff, then move to China.
Yeah.
Everything's there, right? I get that China's in the future. They're probably 20, 30, 40 years into the future with their whole system and how they built things and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're massively building certain projects. Like I just saw about a bridge, the biggest bridge ever, the longest bridge, highest bridge ever, right? Great. Do they treat people really well?
But they get shit done.
It gets shit done, but they treat people really fucking badly, right? So, but the problem is that they just make more people. That's the problem. They've got so many people, and if one complains, they'll just make another one.
Yeah, factories. They got a lot of factories over there.
That's how it is. But I mean, is that the life that you want? That's not human nature. That's not what we are. Like, it's like you came up with this idea because you were sparked by something. You saw something and you started designing this shit. But if you were being controlled and stifled, then you wouldn't have come up with this idea.
Of course, you're a robot.
You would have been contributing to all the other ideas at their initiatives, right? So, you know, Liam LaBeur, who's been on the show, he did an interesting video today. He just shared how Canada became. America became because they fought. They fought for their independence, right? And it was a horrible fight, and they got it, right? They didn't want the British there. They kicked them out, right?
Yeah.
Canada wasn't like that. Canada was a series of negotiations between the Royal and British Commonwealth. And that's it. They just, okay, well, this is Canada now. That's what the rules are. Simple as that. So we never fought for it. And since then, we've never fought for it. But Canada fought strongly and proudly in both major wars. But those people are all gone now that did that. And their grandkids or their kids are here from that, right? And so I don't know. Like, is there going to be a fight? Depends on how much more we're going to take, right? Like, when they start talking about primary residence capital gains tax, that's dangerous, man. Like, when they feel that boomers have too much house because they were fortunate enough to buy a house in the 60s or 70s, and it's a 3,000 square foot house, and it's got a value of maybe $2 million now, the government thinks that that's too much house for empty nesters.
Yeah.
It should be downsized somehow, right? So these modular units, like someone sent me a report from Quebec, though, multi-parenting going on now. And I'm trying to figure out what the fuck that is.
What do
that
even mean? Yeah.
Two fathers for one kid, one mother. And you're just multi-generational parenting together now.
Yeah.
What, man, is that? Like, I don't understand what that is, but they just passed a law where you can do that now.
See, I'm glad I shifted from like the corporate environment more into this construction stuff, because I don't hear about that shit as much, you know?
There's no HR in construction.
Yeah,
exactly. There's an illusion of HR, and there's also an illusion of DEI in construction. I don't care what it is. I've outspoken about that shit, and I've had conversations with sponsors and brands and other shit that I, you know, and people will, like, speak up going, you shouldn't fucking talk about that shit. I'm like, let me get this straight. I shouldn't talk about what's really going on in the world when it affects the construction worker or the construction industry? I disagree with you. I'll talk about it. If I lose a brand or a sponsor from being associated with it, then guess what? You're losing the opportunity to speak to the audience that you're trying to sell to. That's how I look at
it. Yeah. That's a great point.
It's a very good point. Like, it was yesterday, it was nice. I shared that post. I was reminding everybody about the event. And then a half dozen people reached out to me. They're like, going, Manny, man, like, you have a lot of people listening to you that you don't even aware of. And someone just reached out and he goes, I'm a construction diver. Talk about a niche fucking market.
Diver.
Yeah. Welder, underwater.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I've spoken to a bunch of other divers, and they all listen to you, man, your show. So it's like, you're going to come on the show because I got a lot of questions to ask you because that's a whole other world that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, construction's huge. It's very important, but it's getting trampled on right now by policies. And it's unfortunate, right? So I definitely think that policy should get out and let the construction workers do what they have to do. Give them the right tools and let them do what they have to do. That's how I look at it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Cut out the bullshit.
I wanted NDP to fall. But they're not going to fully fall right now because I wanted a blue-collar party to start, right? But it's like a blue-collar party is tricky too, man. You don't know what's going to happen, right? There's just way too much, like, the green slush is never going to get addressed. The Chinese interference is never going to get, you know, spoken about in parliament. It will get shot down by the majority, right? He'll try to bring it up again, and it will just be a repeat. It's almost like watching, you know, your favorite TV show the first few seasons.
Keep watching it, yeah.
You just saw it already. Yeah. You saw these episodes. There's nothing different. We know how it ends. That's what's going to happen. But everyone forgets about that. That's what's so stupid, is that our government was prorogued because the investigation into Chinese interference was shut down. Well, we still haven't gotten an answer from that. Can we please find out who was involved with the Chinese interference? It's not going to come up, man, because you know what's more important? The Green Initiative. We need to, like, we need to really start, you know, reducing our carbon
footprint. I know, man.
I'll never buy an EV, and I'll never buy into their bullshit, right? That's why I share a lot of muscle cars and engines and fuel and shit like that. Like, I just love that shit. That's just me, right? It goes back to, I want vehicles that have soul. I want homes that have souls. I don't care about white boxes.
Yeah.
Modular white boxes, I'm not impressed by it. There's a lot of good quality laneway homes and all these other things, and they're doing a lot of the same style kind of things.
Yeah.
My thought process is, in the early days, my construction days, I used to say, is that going to age well? And what I meant by that is that if you want to do that trend, or if you want to go down this path, you want to build this certain way, is that going to age well in the next decade? Is it going to be something that you're going to hate in the next decade? Because it's not going to feel like a home. It's not going to feel cozy and comfy. Like, I prefer, a home is supposed to be cozy and comfy and a little worn out, nicks in here and there. It's supposed to have memories of your family, your pets, or your friends, like get-togethers, spilled wine, stains. That's cozy, comfortable. So when you start making this medicinal looking box for everybody, I look at it and I'm going, that's not going to age well.
So kind of dystopian, no?
Is that what they want? Sure. But it's not what I want. I don't want to be a part of that shit, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. This show sometimes just veers off into different directions.
I know.
But I appreciate it. I like the question that you asked me, man.
Yeah, I know. I was curious.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. You're going to be there. We'll get you to do a little talk and let people know, and then you can patch into and show some of this information as well, too, because I want people to just generate a bunch of questions and ask you, right?
Of course.
Bring a bunch of cards or whatever.
Yeah, I got
some way to scan them and do that, right? So I got to get to the 12 questions with you.
Sure.
Quartograph, you can reach them at www.quartograph.io and .com wasn't available.
No, it wasn't, but .io is more text. We're like, yo, we'll go the tech sense, route. Yeah, yeah.
Sense, yeah. IG, quartograph.io, and then info at quartograph.io as well. And then also, when you guys are interested, if you want to give it a try, you'll get TCL 50.
Yep.
TCL 50, you'll get 50% off for the first 3 months.
3 months of Quarter Report, and then 50% off the sign-up fees for Quarter Measure as well.
For Quarter Measures, man. No, I love what you're doing, man. Dude,
I appreciate it. I thank you so much for bringing me on. I know... Not all you guys like us software dudes, but
you gotta because we get bombarded by it.
Of course, problem, I know.
Right? So I like that I'm able to somehow weed it out a tiny bit, right? So then, like, you reached out, we sat down, we talked, and I told you right up straight front, boom, I'm interested, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've had other people come in here and give me the spiel, and I was like, you lost me. No, so you kept my attention, which is great, man. Okay, ready? A person you would trade places with for a day.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. I think he's been shared a few times. Guilty pleasure.
Chocolate.
Any particular?
Dark chocolate.
What is your least favorite tool?
Measuring tape. Do it digitally instead.
I still don't trust digital measuring tapes, though.
No. I mean, digitally. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't trust.
But I remember when they all came out, and I was I was still pulling out a regular measuring tape.
Just look at the fucking line. It's right there.
I know. Biggest risk you ever took?
This company.
Best compliment you ever got?
I don't give up.
What is your favorite beverage?
Iced coffee. Espresso shots, actually.
How many do you have a day?
Way too many.
Whatever fails to make you laugh?
I think just enjoying what I'm doing. I'll laugh or just have a good time enjoying what I'm doing. Being a good people.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Don't just blindly follow your dreams. Like, make sure you have some. I guess set some micro goals. You know, like, don't just have some big idea and say, oh, "I'm gonna go do this." Like, get a fucking plan in place. You know, don't just be delusional.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I had a brief stint in the military. I'd like to go back.
Canadian Forces?
I was, yes. Oh, reserves. Really? Yeah.
Nice. How brief?
6 months, 8 months.
It was good.
I was in school, so it was hard to manage everything, but man, I learned a lot. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was good.
That's a whole other thing I'll talk about, man. I still think every service person in this country should be awarded a house.
Mm.
I don't like seeing service people homeless or sleeping in their cars even while they're in service.
Mm,
that bothers the hell out of me, man.
Mm.
Bothers the hell out of me. What is your favorite curse word?
I'd probably say fuck 100 times a day.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
BMW i8.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
I don't know. You didn't make it to hell. I don't know.
Taj, man, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you being on the show, and I'm looking forward to see you on Sunday on the 750 event, man.
I appreciate you bringing me out, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Everyone got to check it out. Look at him, www.quotograph.io, info@quotograph.io, and on IG under quotograph.io. That's it, guys. We're out of here.